This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne. It's been more than 25 years since George Lucas launched a series that rocked popular culture. NPR's Kim Masters reports on how the reclusive filmmaker has changed.
When Bill Mechanic was chairman of the Fox Film Studio, he got a call from George Lucas's representatives. The filmmaker was finally preparing another Star Wars trilogy. That may sound like news that would thrill any film executive, but this wasn't some bonanza for Fox.
They don't leave a lot of blood in the stone or water in the stone or whatever it is. They're looking to maximize their profitability, and they don't particularly care what's left for the other guy.
Lucas financed and owned the films. He owned the merchandising rights to the characters. All his representatives wanted to talk about was how much, or how little, Lucas would pay Fox to use its distribution system. Mechanic says Lucas clearly regarded the studio as something of a necessary evil. That's an understatement, according to Dale Pollack, dean of the film school at the North Carolina School of the Arts and author of a Lucas biography.
I don't think it's a distrust of the studio system. I think it's a loathing, a despising of the studio system and everything it represents.
Pollack says the animus goes way back. Lucas thought Warner Brothers dumped his first film, THX 1138, and Universal nearly took the next one, American Graffiti, away from him.
He sees himself as the individual against the empire of Hollywood.
Lucas got his start at a time of great creative foment in the movie world, a time when Martin Scorsese, Francis Coppola, and Steven Spielberg were making their marks. And given the auspicious beginnings of Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Pollack says it seemed a sure thing that Lucas would continue to develop as a filmmaker. But Lucas decided not to direct the second installment of Star Wars or the third. And Pollack thinks those choices determined what happened next.
Lucas became more and more remote from the industry, more and more insulated, had less and less contact with film crews, with actually making anything. So that by the time he came back to do Star Wars Episode One, he had really been kind of out of the business for almost 20 years.
The effect of that, Pollack believes, is visible on the screen in Episodes 1 and 2.
I mean, when you try to compare those first two Star Wars prequels with American Graffiti, it's shocking. You don't think they're made by the same director. He was so alive and vibrant when he did American Graffiti, and everything in Star Wars Episode 1 and 2 seems stultified. It seems embalmed.
The Trade Federation has destroyed all that we have worked so hard to build. If we do not act quickly, all will be lost forever. I ask you to help us. No, I beg you to help us.
Lucas may have flowered in technical areas, but when it comes to the movies, many fans agree that Lucas has gone off track.
There's plenty of Ultimate Star Wars fans who can't stand anything he's done since 1980.
Sarah Parker Allen of Columbus, Ohio, is part of a crowd camping outside a theater in Hollywood to catch Episode 3 on opening day. She actually liked the last movie, The Attack of the Clones, but she knows that many fans were disappointed in Episodes 1 and 2. And they worry about Episode 3.
George Lucas is a person. People are fallible. I think most people can go on for a long time about all of the mistakes he's made or could make, and they have a lot of fear that he'll make them again.
Former Fox executive Bill Mechanic counts himself as a disappointed fan. But Mechanic says Lucas didn't care what he thought. In fact, when Lucas was making Episode 1, he wouldn't discuss the picture at all. Mechanic may have been chairman of the studio, but Lucas didn't even feign interest in his opinion.
You know, you kind of go, well, you know, you're running a studio, you're seeing 24 movies a year you're working on. So it's a lot of experience. Even if you're an idiot, there's something that comes through from that experience that should be, you know, like a beat going from flower to flower that you can bring to other movies, and your opinion did not matter.
Mechanic felt that he was dealing with two people. Sometimes Lucas was affable and happy to chat, but not always.
There's a technical, cold, and I don't even think meaning to be that. He's just not a socially agile person. So I think that that's a hard person to deal with.
Lucas biographer Pollack sees some similarity between Lucas and the famous Orson Welles character, Citizen Kane, a promising young man who becomes the victim, to some degree, of his own success.
The analogy is apt if you look at Skywalker Ranch as a kind of Xanadu, and as someone who is really doesn't want a real world. He wants a created world that he can manipulate digitally. I think there are some similarities to Charles Foster Kane.
Lucas's representatives did not offer their reaction to this analysis, but Jim Giannopoulos, the current co-chairman of Fox, says that based on what he's observed this week at the Cannes Film Festival, Lucas's fans will feel he has redeemed himself with the latest film. Certainly, the crowds will return to watch Episode 3, like Silas Farrow Jackson, who's part of that group camping outside the theater.
I think after we see this one, we can understand why the first two episodes were like they were.
Good, bad, or indifferent, the fans will be with this movie, supposedly the last installment in the Star Wars epic. Kim Masters, NPR News, Los Angeles.